everyone this evening, and we give each and every one a warm welcome this evening. I'm not going to take no time, but I'm going to ask the brother Nigel to come and just share with us how I came to the Lord, and trust the Lord and bless you. Come on ahead.
Well, God bless us all tonight. You know, I'm at the guy's house a few weeks ago, and I heard testimony. And then I heard about another guy giving a testimony at a tent. After him, I said to myself, you know, it was a long time since I'd give my testimony. And then the Sunday night, Tommy asked me, I give him Sunday night. So, that takes me for opening my mouth. I think the last time I gave my testimony was in the church square. So it must be at least 6-7 years ago, at least, I don't know. It's a long time. But tonight, I want to dwell too much on all the bad things before I got saved, but I want to talk about the good things. It's not the bad that I've done, but it's the good what the Lord's done for me since I got saved. I remember listening to a guy give his testimony one time, and he spoke for 20 minutes about all how he lived for the devil. And then at the end he says, and then I went to a meeting and I got saved. And he thanked the Lord for it, and then he sat down, and I thought to myself, why is it there? There's something wrong there. It's not right. Like, he never said one thing. The Lord just doesn't save you. He keeps you. Okay. He's been my healer. He's been my comforter. He's been my provider.
Amen.
So I just want to open with a bit of scripture. If you turn in your Bibles to Romans chapter 10 and verse 9. It's just one verse. It says, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. And then just turn over to 1 Peter and chapter 3. Says, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asks of you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. Let me just have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, I just thank you tonight for your mercy and for your grace. I thank you, Lord, that I can say that mercy has rewrote my life. And Lord, I thank you for saving me, Lord Jesus. And Lord, just touch these lips tonight, just to lift your name and give you all the honour and all the praise and all the glory. And Lord, just bring everything to my remembrance that I should say for your glory. In Jesus Christ's name I ask it. Amen.
Amen.
I was brought up in a home. Young age, my parents weren't saved. But from young age, I remember my mum getting saved. And I remember going to the church, and she told the minister that she got saved. And instead of encouraging her, he'd done everything, done his best to discourage her. He said, you didn't really need to do that. You didn't need to get saved. Like, it was about works. As long as you're a good person, you'll be alright. So I remember at the end of the meeting, I'm coming out, and my mum shook his hand, and she says, good day and goodbye. And we were never back again. And you know, I didn't really mind that at all, because I hated going to church when I was young. I was never as bored in my life as was there, or sat in church. But I remember going out to the farm when I was young, and I heard John and Willie and Bobby and different ones talking about the Lord. And I loved it. See, when I heard somebody actually that had the real reality, something real, talking about it, there's a big difference. And you know, from a young age, I knew I needed to be saved, but I was always afraid. I said, you can't get saved. All your mates will laugh at you. How do you ever keep that? You know, I joined a band. I used to play the drum and a pipe band, and I said to myself, them boys, how would you ever get saved with all them boys, you know, Christian, they just laugh at you. You know, I remember when I started off, Tommy said he's going to have a house meeting at the farm, and brother Billy was preaching on it, and I went along to it, and I gave him a knife to the Lord that night, and it was the 30th of January, 1994. And a couple of weeks later, we got baptized in the Ballysillan Leisure Centre in February, in the swimming pool, and for 2 or 3 weeks, I didn't really tell too many people to tell you the truth. But then, one night, just said, right, I have to tell all the guys. So I told all the guys in the band, and you know what? It wasn't that bad at all. The devil, he whispers in your ear, says, you can't do this, you can't do that. When you actually start to witness, it's a lot easier than what you think. The Lord will give you strength. And when you tell one or two people, then they go and tell other people. You don't have to tell that many people at all. It soon goes round. They come to you. And you know, after a while I met a couple of brothers, a fellow and a brother Martin. And he came here one night after our meetings got saved, Big Martin. Yeah. And I used to go away on band trips and when you go away to Scotland 4 or 5 times a year, you'd end up sharing a room with a couple of guys. And you get people on their own, it's easy to witness. All the big guys, when there's a crowd, but on your own, they start asking questions. You know, if you live a good life, your life is a witness to people. You don't always have to say something. It's just how you act and your conduct says a lot too. But one of my best mates, he was into drugs and he was in a bad way. But I used to witness to him about a year ago, he rung me. Emotional. He says, you might come out for a bite to eat, something to tell you. So, alright, and we're having something to eat, we're talking about him. And he says, remember all those times you used to speak to me and you're telling me that you had no fear about anything or worry, you left everything to the Lord? And I says, well, I can't really remember what I told you, a lot of stuff. He says, well, I remember every word you told me. He says, I've got saved.
Yeah.
So, there you go. There's two people got saved through the bomb. The devil telling me, you couldn't be a Christian in a bomb. So, praise the Lord for that. Like I said, I want to dwell on the good things the Lord has done. It's like, I was thinking during the week, it's like the wee hymn says, count your blessings, name them one by one, and we'll surprise you what the Lord has done. And you know, the things the Lord's done for me is marvellous. And sometimes you forget about it. But I just want to say something tonight. I remember one night, it wasn't long after I got saved, I was going to bomb practice and I lived in Scarborough at the time. And by the time I got to Bomb Bridge, a voice spoke to me in the car. And I could still hear it. And says, you never prayed for any trouble and mercies today. I thought, that's a funny thing to think that there, what's going on? So I kept driving. And next minute, came into me again, come and says, you never prayed for any mercies? I says, you're going mad, something's not right here. When I got to the far end of Long Bridge, out to the Moor Road, and the filling station, a voice spoke to me, said, you need to stop right now and pray. So I pulled into the filling station, and I just sat for 30 minutes and came and prayed. And after I prayed, it was like a whole weight lifted off me. I was going, drove another 20 minutes. The band I went to was in Ballygan, and I got to the Temple Crossroads. I don't know why any of you know it. There's a big roundabout out now, but it used to be a crossroads, and there's two streets on the other side, and there's all hidden dips. If you're looking up the road, it looked like there's nothing coming, straight road, but there's two dips on it. But I was running late, so I was horsing on. I suppose it was breaking the speed limit, but as I was going, the car to the other side of the road, the next month, this car appeared at the top of the hump, coming straight for me, and I hit the brakes, and the car beside me hit the brakes, and the car was coming the wrong side of the road. It just swerved in front of me, missed me the top of a coat of paint. I didn't even get the car stopped, it was going that quick. I hit the brakes, but the car was still moving, he went up the hedge, and the dust and the dirt and all flew up. And he kept going, he wanted like a speed wobble, but he got the car carried up. And the voice spoke to me again, the car says, if you hadn't stopped and prayed, that car would have hit me. So that's the Lord's hand that was upon my life. And you know, I learned a whole lot of stuff, lessons from that one incident. You know, if the Lord tells you to do something, you better do it. Like if the Holy Ghost speaks to you and advises you to do something, it's for your own good. And like, not only does the Lord save you, but He keeps you. That was the Lord's hand upon my life. It was His mercy and His grace. And then, not long after that, I used to have real pains down my left side, and my arm, my elbow. I had a name for it. I went to see the doctor. I can't remember what it was called, but it was a form. It was like a severe, it was like Tana's elbow, but there was a name for it. I can't remember the name. But it was so bad, I remember driving the car, and somebody beside me, they had to change the gear stick. I had to clutch the car, and they would have changed the gears for me, because the pain in the arm, I couldn't move it. But I remember one night, at a meeting, at a prayer line, my brother John asked anybody needs prayer, and I went up, and I asked him to pray for my arm, and the pain left my arm right away. And I was home, and the devil says to me, "You're not healed at all, that's just, it comes and goes in waves, it's just, it was all right there, because you had sat for a while, you hadn't done nothing." So I says, "You're a liar, devil." So I got my phone out, and I started texting people and telling them about that healed that night. And then I got a few answers. A lot of them said, "What are you talking about? What's going on here?" A lot of people didn't believe a word of it, but they didn't need to believe it. I was the one that had to believe it. But the next day, the devil says to me again, "So, what happens today? Last night you sent all them text messages. What happens? You don't get healed?" And I says, "You know, devil, you're a liar. You're a liar last night and you're a liar this morning." Mm-hmm. So I got the phone out and I texted some more people, and then I wrote to a few people and I told them. And you know what? I've never had the pain since.
Yeah.
I've never come back. I remember then, don't want to take too much time. It was, the Lord's really done lots in my life. But whenever I met my wife, Catherine, I remember the first time we were expecting Rachel, our first child. We went away for the weekend to stay at the Causeway Hotel at Port Bruce. We went for a walk. I think we might have been at Jazz Causeway. We went for a walk that day, but we came back and said we'd rest up a bit before we went out for a meal. And it was the time of the rugby, the Six Nations were on. And I think Ireland were playing Italy or France, some of them things. But I lay down in the bed in the room and started watching the TV. And Catherine, she went and she said we'd go to the bathroom. So I never thought, when I started watching the rugby, and then suddenly realised it was half time in the rugby match, and I thought, "Where's Catherine?" Like, the rugby match 40 minutes goes by the next half. So I went looking for her, and I got to the bathroom and could hear her sobbing. She was in a bad way, bad state. And she says to me, "I've lost the baby." I says, "No, you haven't." And she says, "I have, I've lost the baby." And she lost a lot of blood and stuff. And she was upset. And he says, "No way, devil. No way." I go, "No, accepting that." And we'll go down and we'll pray. And the hospital, it's shut in Port Bruce on a Saturday, and there's no maternity unit. So this was on the Saturday. So I had to wait till Monday to get an appointment in Craigavon. And we went. And then they done the test, they had to do and scan, internal scan. And then the doctor came out and he says, "All's well." Says, "The heartbeat there, everything's normal." So praise the Lord for that. There's so many things you can say. When we're building a house, everybody knows we're building a house. We've moved in nearly 2 years now, but I was put down to 4 days a week. Of course, the devil tries to take the money off you when you need it the most. But Catherine, she rung me one day and she says, "The car's blew up." Foxhole for you. It's a beer. And I said, "What do you mean the car's blew up?" She says, "Let it bang out of it and my dad can't get it started." And Johnny's like that. It's just it blew up, nothing's happening. And all the lights are in the house. So. And I had my penny at the time. And I got two credit cards maxed out. And I said, "I have no money to buy a car or something's going to have to happen here." So I came home that night from New York and said, "What are you going to do?" And I said, "I'm going to do nothing." I went down to the bedroom, I go down, and start to pray. And I says, "Lord, you're obligated to look after me. I pay my tithes every month. You have to look after me. I don't have my panic." And I got up the next morning and I went to my work and I rang a mechanic, I know, and he went out and he looked at her and he put the computer on, he rung me at work and he says, "What's wrong with this car?" I says, "She's blew up." He says, "This car's going perfect, and I have the computer on and everything's reading, all the levels is perfect." He says, "Nothing wrong with this car." I says, "I was sat there and nobody could get a reading to swing, it blew up." And he says, "This car's never blew up." He says, "This car's going perfect." And you know what? I went home and got in that car, and that car went better or it ever went. like the Foxholes were all chugging and the EGR valve kept plugging on and every now and then she went in the lump mode. She never done it since. Like the Lord got the car going, so
yeah.
Some people don't believe
yeah.
that, but
yeah.
I know the Lord at the needs, because I had no money to buy a car, I can tell you that. And our last child there, Leah, was born after the, you go, it's a 12-week scan. It's the first scan. We went and they seen some things in the scan and they called us in and they said, they won't alarm us, but the child's head's not growing. So she's going to have problems. So we'll have to keep bringing you in the hospital every so many weeks. And they said, you'll not be able to go maternity led anymore. You'll have to be consultant led and the team of doctors and consultants look after you from now on. And then went every 2 weeks for scans, and every time we went for a scan, they told us the baby wasn't growing, the head wasn't growing. And again, I says, the wife, I said, we're not accepting that, no way. I says, that's just a machine. I remember telling Catherine, I says, I work, testing machines work, and they all have a calibration. And I goes, you're out of tolerance, you've got a 5% out. And I goes, that nurse knows nothing, that doctor knows nothing. And I goes, I'm trusting the word of the Lord. And you know what? We went full term, and they told us, we'll have to take Catherine in early and start her, and then when the child would be born, we'll have to go into one of these machines, keep it breathing and keep it for so many days, it would be bad. Like, and I never believed a word of it. And I'm not saying that boastful, I just trusted in the Lord.
Yeah.
And you know what? We took her in early and started her, and the child came out. And another thing they told us we're having a boy. She was born a girl. So the child came out, the head was perfect, everything was perfect. So it's near enough back to the same size as Rachel when she was born. So I go, there you go, that's her answer to game. So there's loads of things I could say, but it won't take too much time. But I was listening to a testimony not that long ago of a guy called Carl Barth. I don't know if any of us have heard of a guy called Carl Barth, but he was a Swiss, is that how you say it? He's from Switzerland, he's Swiss or Swiss. But he was a sort of a reformer. He wanted to get back to like the Reformation and stood for stuff like that. But he was a theologian and a philosopher, and he taught in universities and stuff. And he wrote dozens of books, and they used his books in colleges and stuff to teach people. But there were a few of them, and one of the students asked him, what is the greatest thing that you've ever learned? He says, the greatest thing I've ever learned, when I was a child, my mum taught me a hymn. And says, Jesus loves me, this I know.
Yeah.
Well, the Bible tells me so. And you know, that is so simple, but that's the gospel. You know, that hymn says, Jesus loves me, this I know. Well, the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him below, they are weak, but he is strong. Jesus loves me, he who died.
Yes.
Heaven's gates open wide. He will wash away my sins and let his little child come in. And that's all you have to do. Like, if you get nothing out of this tonight, just get that Jesus loves you.
Yeah.
And like, he just wants you to become a child. Like, faith, the gospel is very simple. All you have to do is put your trust in the Lord. And like, the Lord didn't just save me, but he's healed me. He's washed over me. And he's comforted me. My dad died 2 months ago now. You know, it's been a great comfort knowing that the Lord saved him.
Amen.
Great comfort knowing that I'll see him again. This is the glory.
Amen.
And I just want to give the Lord all the thanks and the praise for saving me. Amen.
Praise the Lord. You know what, brother? You put a man on, Rachel. God bless you. I tell you, it's powerful. There is a lot of testimonies, even in our meetings, that maybe we don't think about. And the Lord's done a lot of things maybe we forget about. And there's some of them tonight. Isn't it wonderful? And you know, when it was Nigel and Mark, brought Big Martin, and I can remember what I preached the night Martin got saved. And I called people to come to the front, and Martin came to the front that night, and his knees were shaking. And he got saved, and Big David got saved another night as well. Mark and Nigel brought David. Big David, I'm sure you remember. I was living in the Scarborough Road, and he came to my house, and he says, I don't want to go to hell.
Amen.
And he got saved that night as well.
Amen.
There's people that got saved, maybe we forget about. A lot of people got saved over the years.
Yeah.
You'd write it all down in a book with their lap that's got saved. And a lot of them still going on with the Lord. Maybe they all don't come here, but they've gone on with the Lord. Big Martin was going on for a minister, he's still going on with the Lord. But it's great to hear Nigel's testimony. We just thank the Lord for things he's done for Brother Nigel. We just thank God for salvation. And it's not the main thing that somebody can come to the Lord. I'm not going to take much time tonight. And you could have went on, Brother, honestly. You know, and I really appreciate your testimony and appreciate Mark and Nigel and even the help that are here opening up the meetings and everything. It's a tremendous help. And Mark and Jeff's here a lot of weeks when nobody's here, putting the chairs out, doing all the different things. It's, you know, and I really appreciate it.
Yeah.
And I just thank the Lord tonight for his mercy and grace. You know, if we didn't have a meeting, you'd have nowhere to bring somebody to. You could go somewhere else, I know that. But I believe God's in it. I believe the Lord's in it.
Amen.
And I believe we're meant for a reason, for a purpose. And I just thank the Lord for what he's done. Praise God. I'm not going to preach so long tonight, and I want to just read from Matthew 27, and this is one of my favorite portions of the Bible. When you can remain seated tonight, and when I read this, and I was reading about this again today, and you know, if you have a Scofield Bible, I haven't got a Scofield here tonight, but if you have a Scofield and you read the bottom notes, you read a lot of things about this chapter 27, and I'm going to be reading from verse 45 down, and you're reading Scofield's notes about the seven sayings of Christ. And have you ever heard of a man called Pink? He preached on the seven sayings of Christ on the cross. And there's a whole load of sermons in this. There's so many sermons from this chapter. But I want to read from verse 45. Now from the sixth hour there was darkness over all the land unto the ninth hour. And about the ninth hour Jesus cried with a loud voice saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani. That is to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Some of them that stood there when they heard that said, this man calleth Elias. And straightway one of them ran and took a sponge and filled it with vinegar and put it in a reed and gave him to drink. And the rest said, let us see whether Elias will come to save him. Jesus, when he had cried again with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost. And behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom. And the earth did quake and the rocks rent. And the graves were open, and many bodies of the saints which slept arose and came out of the graves after his resurrection, and went into the holy city and appeared unto many. Praise God. We know the Lord will bless his own word tonight, and I believe that this is one of the greatest portions in all of the Bible. And I just love this verse 45. From the sixth hour there was darkness over all the land to the ninth hour. Now we know the sixth hour was 12 o'clock because it starts at 6 in the morning and up to 12 o'clock is the sixth hour. And it's important that you know that the sixth hour is 12 o'clock. 12 o'clock to 3 o'clock there was darkness. And I remember I don't want to go into tonight, but I studied it before and I went into the book and the Bible where God, you know, the sun, the moon darkened and the sun darkened at the very same time in the Old Testament, and scientists have proved it stood still. How many knows them scriptures? And here the sun and the moon darkened, and the Bible speaks of these 3 hours of darkness at the sixth hour from 12 o'clock to 3 o'clock when the noon, when the sun was at its peak, God darkened it. When the sun was on its brightest, God darkened it. And when you study this, and I read some more this evening, and I've read a lot
thou forsaken me? Forsaken by God so that we could be saved. Did you ever think of that?
That's the Lord. In those 3 hours.
Ephesians tells us in chapter 2 that we all were aliens. Every one of us were strangers from the commonwealths of Israel, strangers from the covenants of promise. We were, had no hope, with no guide in this world without Christ. Every one of us was lost without the Lord. But in those 3 hours of darkness, Jesus took our place. I'm glad Jesus could save a sinner like me. I'm glad he saved our brother Nigel. Glad how the Lord's blessed him with a wife and with children.
Amen.
With health and strength. And the many things the Lord's done for him. Because he loved him.
Amen.
I love John 3 and 17. I love 16, but I love John 3 and 17. For God sent not a son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Jesus didn't come to condemn you and me, he came to save us. It's not wonderful.
Amen.
The devil wants to condemn you. He wants to condemn you. He wants to domineer you. He wants to dominate you. He wants to put his feet on you. And he wants to put you right into the ground. But Jesus says, I love you.
Amen.
And I never came to condemn you. But he came to save you. And because of those 3 hours of darkness, we can go to God. Because God was satisfied. We never could satisfy a holy God with our works. We could never satisfy a holy God with a program. We could never satisfy a holy God with a book of rules or regulations. But the Bible says in Ephesians, you had been quickened. That means made alive who were dead. Dead in trespasses and sins. But Jesus quickened us and he made us alive because of what Jesus done on the cross. We could be saved. Isaiah 53, and everyone knows Isaiah 53, he was wounded for our transgressions. I want you to see from the very outset of the scripture, and I'm not taking time to read it all tonight because I don't want to hold you as long, but this text belongs to the transgressor. And every one of us was transgressors. We have transgressed God's law. Every one of us. There was no bigger liar than me. I'm going to tell you that tonight. I was a real liar. I remember the police bringing my mother to the police station. And sitting my mother there and sitting me here. And my mother knew what I had done and the police knew what I had done. And I still denied I was a liar. I was a stealer as well. I stole all sorts of things. But I thank God for the words of Paul the Apostle. Paul says some of you were fornicators, and murderers and adulterers, but now you're in Christ Jesus. Jesus in those 3 hours took all the punishment due you and due me. He took it all on the cross so that we could be saved. This text belongs to transgressor. It belongs... When you have no Calvary, listen to this, when you have no Calvary and you have no Christ and you have no sacrifice, you don't know anything at all. You've nothing to preach about if you have no Calvary. You've nothing to preach about if you have no sacrifice. You can't really have a meeting. Because it's the Lord that makes the meeting. 1 Corinthians 2:2 says, for I have determined not to know anything among you, save Jesus Christ and him crucified. I tell you, the Lord was crucified on the cross 2,000 years ago to save mankind. This is a message the world needs to hear. I tell you, when you think of it, the Lord doesn't want any to perish. That's his own words. He said, it's not my will that any should perish, but that all should be saved. Paul says, my continual prayer is that Israel would be saved. And us as Christians and believers, our continual prayer should be that people will get saved.
Amen.
especially those we love and are near to us, and even those whom we don't like to love. The Bible said, pray for those that despitefully use you, persecute you. That I would know nothing amongst you. When a man or a woman are without Christ, they're without the sacrifice that can meet God's requirements for sin. Jesus Christ is the only man that ever met God's requirements for sin. You say, what about the Old Testament and the blood of the lamb and bullocks? It covered it for a season. But it never fully met God's full requirements. Because the Bible tells us in the New Testament, under those old sacrifices and rituals and programs, their conscience was never made clear. But because of the blood of Jesus Christ, we can have a clear conscience. The police could pull out a record of me tonight. I remember one time, a fellow said to me, you should get a record, it'll help you when you go to get this other thing. And I had to pay and I got the record. And I'm not saying it boastfully, I'm ashamed of it. It was a lot of pages. But I'm telling you tonight, if God can save me, God can save anybody. God can save anybody. And I tell you, he's in the business of saving.
Amen.
This sacrifice is the only requirement for sin. We're desolate and we're dead without Christ. Look at Ephesians 2 and verse 5, and maybe your brother would put it up. In Ephesians 2, let's read from verse 2. For where in times past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. And you see that word worketh. That word worketh means energizes. He energizes in the children of disobedience. There's something in the world today that's energizing in the world in children of disobedience. There's only two spirits in this world. There's the Spirit of God, which is the Holy Spirit, and there's the devil, the unholy spirit, and the one's against the other. And the Bible says he hasn't given us the spirit of fear or of bondage, but of love and truth, and that of a sound mind.
Amen.
The Lord's given the spirit of love, of truth, and of a sound mind. But one time, every one of us in here was dominated by the devil. We were ruled by this spirit that now worketh in the world. Amen. And you know that the world's an enemy with God. And it says we all walked according to the course of this word. The prince of the power of the air, that's the devil. Damned by the spirit, the devil. We're by nature the children of wrath, even as others. Think of that, children of wrath. Desolate and dead, domineered and almost damned. That's what the devil will do with you. I know I've told it before and I know it goes over our heads, but it really is something. That you could be praying in your room and God would show you a young man in a river about to drown himself. And just like a brother said, God spoke to them. Wasn't that wonderful? Now, Nigel, God spoke to him. Why did he get that tonight? God spoke to him. And he said, you never pray. I tell you this morning, prayer does more than we ever can know. God answers prayer. And I believe every word of it. I believe we should have a habit, if you want to call it a habit, if it is, it's a good one. That we should never leave the house or the car without praying. Every morning. We should pray before we go. Lord, bless her goings out. And bless her coming in. But I tell you, I remember well on the Lurgan Road, I found that young man at the river, ready to commit suicide, ready to drown himself, all because of the devil. How many people in this country are committing suicide? Do you know it's one of the highest rates here in Northern Ireland? There's people committing suicide. And it's all because of the devil.
There's all sorts of clinics and there's all sorts of programs, and some of them's good. It's like the AA. The AA is not bad. The AA is a good thing to help a man come off the drink. But when a man really is born again in the Spirit of God or a woman, and they really receive this sacrifice that pleased God, they'll be delivered for all time and all eternity. God will set them free. Romans 3 and 23 tells us all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Not one of us is without sin. Every one of us was born a sinner by nature. We were born a sinner by birth. But Jesus Christ was appeased God. There's no way outside of the Lord.
Gospel tonight. I want you to see all these things that happened before the darkness. These 3 hours of darkness, you could go all through the things. The crucifixion, at 9 o'clock, the crucifixion starts. He's been whipped, he's been beaten, he's been placed on the cross. And you can follow the whole program right through to 12 o'clock, and at 12 o'clock, my, I tell you, I've thought a lot about that darkness. I thought about Exodus
chapter 10, verse 21 to 23. And we see there was 3 days of gross darkness. And in Exodus 10 it says, darkness that could be felt. Why was it 3 days? Because there was 3 hours on the cross. God never makes a mistake. And if you study Exodus chapter 10, verse 21 to 23, and you read through Exodus, you will see that the death angel come through. The darkness came and the death angel come through. But God's people had received the message of the blood. Amen. The message of the token. And the message of the token is the message of the blood. They'd received the message, apply the blood. Amen. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. I tell you, it was simple to a lot of people, wasn't it? I know I've said this before, I'm going to say it again. The lamb was sacrificed, the blood was in the basin, the father could see it, the mother could see it, God could see it, but it was no use. It had to be applied. Reinhard Bonnke was the man that said it. He said a tremendous statement. Many a time I've used it, you've heard me mention it time and time again, it's so true. Said they invited him on a television program. And there was an atheist on there. And that atheist began to give all the questions. If God's so great, and you talk about the power of the blood, Bunky, why is it that this happens, and something else happens? And Reinhard Bunky said he was praying and saying to the Holy Spirit, you're going to have to give me the words. How to answer him. And when they did give him time to speak, and you'll notice in them type of programs, they'll not give you very long. He said it's like the bar of soap. You go to the shop and you buy the bar of soap. You can buy the bar of soap, you can put it in your pocket, you can bring it home, you can put it in the bathroom. You could testify you possess a bar of soap, but you're still not clean. Until you wash it. You must apply the soap and wash in the soap. And when you apply the soap and wash in the soap, the soap makes you clean. When I think of the bar of soap, I always think of my grandmother when she used to come and stay with us. If a mother ever was in the hospital and she had the big red bar soap, never forget it, and a good big face cloth. Oh, boy. Matthew, you're in trouble, Tanya. She used to give me it. She gave me it, brother. She used to slap it on it. All of us boys, you weren't allowed to go to bed till you got the works. Behind your ears and all. And she used to give us a wash. And you know, I was in a shop one day and I spotted that soap for a bottle out of it. My wife said, what did you get that soap for? And I said, because my granny used to have it. I wanted the red soap. I tell you, when you apply the soap onto the cloth and the water and you scrub yourself, it'll make you clean. You'll be shining. It'll create you. Amen. And I tell you, the blood of Jesus Christ was shed. The price was paid on the cross, but it must be applied. Amen. And even when we're saved, we can still apply it. All of us can make mistakes. All of us can fall short. But the blood of Jesus lays there for us.
Amen.
Isn't that wonderful?
Amen.
That's why I love Hebrews 9. I remember hearing a man preaching and he said, there's no more blood. And he said, it's all done away with. And the Lord gave me all them scriptures. And I preached a whole load of sermons about the blood. I believe in the power of the blood. The Bible says, as the heavenly, as the earthly things are sprinkled by the blood, so are the heavenly. But read what else it says. By a better sacrifice. Jesus' blood entered heaven. After these 3 hours of darkness, Jesus cried, it's finished! It's finished! And you know the priest was in the tabernacle during this program, and the veil rent before him. The Bible records, when you read history and study of it, it says many of them believed. And you read here, even some of the soldiers believed, and they said, truly this was the Son of God. God rent the veil. What was that telling us? God was showing to the world the Old Testament sacrifices is finished. You'll never need another one. For this one's once and for all sacrifice. Once and for all, Christ was offered. Never have to be offered again. 5 minutes and I'm closing. I said it wouldn't be long. But you see this darkness in Exodus. But when they're under the blood, they were saved. Matthew 28:1 tells us Jesus was in the grave 3 days. And there was 3 days of gross darkness. If you read Jonah, you'll know that Jonah was in the whale's belly 3 days and 3 nights. And he says, out of hell I cry, a type of Christ. And then you read that Jesus said, an adulterous and evil generation seek a sign. And there shall be no sign given them, save the sign of the prophet Jonas. For as he was 3 days and 3 nights in the whale's belly, so must the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. But what about psalmists? The psalmist David says, thou shalt not leave my soul in hell, neither shalt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. You notice all these scriptures fulfilled. The psalmist says, not a bone in his body shall be broken. And the soldiers come round, and there's a malefactor on each side of Jesus, and they broke their legs. But when they came to Jesus, they marveled he was already dead.
And they pierced him on the side, so that every scripture would be perfectly fulfilled. Not a bone in his body was broken. And the Bible says, blood and water came forth from the Lord's side. You could do a whole study and you could see where, when you're under strain and torture, that there's a pocket in there that'll hold water. How many of you ever heard about that? And the Lord suffered on the cross like no other man. I told you before, why did he refuse the vinegar? The Bible says they gave him vinegar mingled with gall. And when he tasted it, he refused it. He refused to drink because it was a narcotic made for the women to numb the senses of the victim. But Jesus refused to have his senses numb so that he would feel all the agony, so that he would feel all the pain of the cross, that he could save you and me. I thank God he suffered for me. By his stripes I'm healed. You could go to the book of Genesis and you could read in Genesis 1:1-3, and it tells us about the beginning of creation that there was darkness over the face of the deep. Darkness over the face of the deep. What's it say? Then the Spirit of God moved. Darkness in the beginning, and God's Spirit moved, and light and life came. Darkness in Egypt, but when I see the blood, I'll pass over you. And after 3 days, light came. 3 hours of darkness on the cross, and Jesus cried, it's finished. And light came. The rocks rent, and the earth shook. You could go into all the miracles of it. Schofield gives you a lot of things in it. If you read Schofield's notes, if you have a Schofield Bible, so many wonderful things in it. You get chapter 27 in these verses and go down. 3 hours of darkness, God forsaking his Son. Isn't that something? See, God can't die, but Jesus died. I want you to get that this evening in this meeting. God had a Son, you know.
Amen.
He had a Son.
Yes.
The only begotten Son of God. Jesus Christ died, but God can't die.
Amen.
He said, my God, Why hast thou forsaken me? He was our sacrifice. Took our place. Took the punishment due me and you. He took it at the cross. But I want to tell you, not only did he die, but the same Bible says God raised him again from the dead on the third day. I'm going to close tonight. I could go on, but I'm going to close. I don't want to hold you too long. I've really enjoyed our brother's testimony. And I believe you have as well. I tell you, the Lord's real. Let us just close our eyes. Maybe as the musicians prefer to come. You know, it's really something. I believe even though we're saved, I believe God wants us to have the joy of our salvation restored. So that we can go back in our memory and go back in our thinking to the first time when we really could see it. How blessed it really was. How the Lord saved us. You know, the night of the baptized, there was 14 people baptized that night. There was 10 on another night. Baptized in Ballyshannon swimming pool. I heard this morning that a young brother, Stephen McNeely, just baptized 66 people. I tell you, people's getting saved all over the world. We don't know about it. God's everywhere. With every head bowed and every eye closed, I'm not going to ask you to raise your hands or anything tonight, but I just want to pray, and then song leader's going to come. We're going to close. Heavenly Father, we just thank and praise you tonight for your mercy and for your grace. Thank you for the wonderful testimony we've heard. How you've saved your brother and how you've kept him and spoke to them and protected him and blessed him. And even the wonderful things you've done for him and his wife. Lord, we give you all the praise. We thank you for your great provision. We thank you, Lord, that you're the same yesterday, today, and forever. We thank you for the work you accomplished at the cross 2,000 years ago. We know that the message of the cross will never change. But it is the power of God unto salvation. Father, this evening, bless every head that's bowed in this house. Bless every boy and every girl. If there's someone here tonight that's never fully trusted in you, Lord Jesus, are listening in. May the Spirit of the Lord speak to them and strive with them and bring them to the saving knowledge of the truth. In Jesus' precious name. Lord, we ask for any that's sick and afflicted at this time. We pray, Lord, you'll heal them and touch them. In the name of Jesus Christ, we think of our sister Lynn. We ask you'll continue to bless her and strengthen her. Lord, and bring her back amongst us again in health and strength in Jesus' name. Lord, we thank you for young Stephen, for the testimony of all these young ones that came to you. Lord, we give you all the praise. Father, we want to see more saved here amongst us. We want to see you moving. We want to see your power and your glory. But Lord, we just ask that you'll help us to walk in your ways and acknowledge you. Bless your goings out, Lord. Bless your comings in. Bless every head bowed in this room tonight. And we'll be careful to give you all the praise and all the glory in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen. God bless you. And Nigel, the Lord bless you. And I really mean it. I really enjoyed that. Next Sunday morning, we're going to have our brother Samuel preaching. And then next Sunday night, myself. And then the week after that, we're going to have Andre. The time's just going so quick. And then after that, I'm going away for a week for a break to England. I'm going to go and roam around England for a week for a break. So pray for all the services, and the brothers will be preaching as well while I'm away. Just pray for all the meetings that the Lord will have his way. And the Lord bless each and every one. God bless you.